Top Chef Canada finalist Connie D'Souza of Charcut Roast House and her colleague Jessica Pelland, the executive chef of Canada's most anticipated new restaurant, Charbar, which is opening soon in Calgary, are in town for Eat Vancouver and a collaboration dinner with Chef Andrea Carlson. So I was just going to ask you a couple standard things. Let's start with what got you into the industry. Maybe Connie can go first.
Sure. Well, I come from a family of great cooks. My father is Portuguese and my mother is Irish-Canadian. And I grew up cooking with them as soon as I could reach over the counter and making great meals. My mom used to prepare 3-course meals every single night of the week. So there would always be like soups and salads and entree and dessert.
Had cabbage.
Yeah.
And a meat maybe. Yeah.
So I've always been kind of surrounded by food and really passionate by it. But I also studied ballet for a number of years before becoming a chef. And I really feel like the kind of very strict atmosphere in kind of that world and the drive and the dedication like really motivated me to become a chef and I use a lot of the what I learned as a dancer in the kitchen today. And quite often I'll say that if we're running a really smooth service and everyone is working well with each other and everyone's taking the right steps in the kitchen, that it quite often feels like a ballet in the kitchen as well. So
okay. Huh. And how about you, Jessica?
Much like Connie, my love for food really stemmed from my family. When I was 1 year old, there's a photo of me helping my mom make my first birthday cake. So our family really revolves around the kitchen and what's going on. We're very Canadian, I think 3 generations anyway. I'm the oldest sibling of 3 total, including myself. And so when I was in high school, junior high and high school, like I would often help make dinners for my family. And so that's kind of what kind of piqued my interest into professional cooking, because I started watching Cook Like a Chef and some other cooking shows on television, and I started experimenting at home. And then after high school, I needed a job, so I applied at a bunch of different places, everywhere from a carpet store to like reception to retail. And the first people to call me back was a family restaurant. And so I started working there, and one of my jobs, it was an all-day breakfast place, and one of my jobs was to peel 150 pounds of potatoes a day. And I loved it. It was awesome. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is cool.
Yeah.
And just ever since that, I was like, oh, I belong here. Like, I belong in the kitchen. This is what I'm here to do. I'm passionate about it. I'm good at it. I'm quick. I learn, like... And throughout the course of my career, and here I am, kind of.
Well, thank God for potato peeling.
Yeah.
Did both of you go to culinary school, or did you just learn on the fly?
For me, I started, you know, I was self-taught for most of the beginning of my career, and then about 4 years in, I started working for the University of Calgary, and the chef there at the time approached me about apprenticing under him.
Okay.
And so I gladly accepted, and since then I graduated the apprenticeship program from SAIT.
Okay, cool. And what about you, Connie?
I attended culinary school, SAIT as well,
okay.
Right out of high school.
Cool.
I really started to develop more of a passion for food in high school when I took a foods program. for all 3 years that I was in high school. And I often found myself studying more for the foods program than my the rest of my academic courses.
Well, I guess actually food is academic as well, so yeah. shouldn't really say that. But and then what drove you both to compete? You know, it seems like Top Chef Canada and Chop Canada is sort of the way that the TV series are going, but not everybody says, okay, I'm going to compete. I mean, it's pretty intense. So what was it that made you want to actually get out there and compete?
Well, for me, Top Chef wasn't the first competition I did. Okay. I started competing really early on in my career. So actually right out of culinary school, when I was an apprentice for about 3 years, I was really heavily involved in competition. So like the first one I did was the Canadian Canora competition.
Okay.
Apprentice, yep. One. And then after that, I started competing with the Chien de Rotisserie. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was competing with Team Alberta for the World Culinary Olympics that they do every year.
Is the WAX or the... No, what is the...
It's the one that is in Erfurt, Germany, every 4 years.
Yeah. And how about you, Jessica? What sort of made you throw your hat in the ring?
Well, I had some motivation help from Connie and John.
Okay.
I've always loved food TV, and I've always been a really big fan of the American Chopped series, and I think I've been watching it since it aired. And you know, I'm that person that sits on the couch being like, "Oh, I totally would have done this. I totally would have done that." And so, I had also applied to be on Top Chef, but I didn't make it through. Which was fine. I was okay with that. And then the producers, it's the same producers, they actually approached me and was like, "Hey, we're doing Chopped Canada, you should apply." And so I was like, "All right, well, I love the show anyway. I know kind of what goes on and how it works." And so I applied and made it on, and I did pretty well.
Yes. Yeah. And so you're opening up Char Bar.
Yes.
And currently working at Char Cut.
Yes.
So maybe could you tell us a little bit about either restaurant? Maybe Connie, you can talk about Char Cut, and then you can tell us what's coming up at Char Bar.
Sure.
So Char Cut is very meat-centric. We concepted our restaurant when we were living in San Francisco at the time and was super inspired by farm-to-table cuisine. John and I have been working together since 1999, but met up again in San Francisco. That's where I met my husband, Jean-Francois, and John's wife, Carrie, who are all part owners in the restaurant, was living there as well. And so we were just like really inspired by the farm-to-table cuisine. At the time, charcuterie was on the rise again and kind of in on a lot of chefs' minds at the time. And so I spent some time at Alice Waters, Chez Panisse, who is kind of like the pioneer farm-to-table.
Exactly, yes, she is, for sure.
And we really wanted to kind of like bring a piece of San Francisco back to Calgary when we opened up Char Cut. So Char stands for the custom-built char broiler and rotisserie, and Cut stands for our manual Italian meat slicer that we slice all of our charcuterie on. So we're very nose-to-tail in our cuisine as well. We do all of our own butchering in-house. We're also very back-to-basics with our philosophy of cuisine. So we also make all of our own breads in-house. We do all of our own pickling, canning, and preserving. Really just trying to bring back these artisan techniques that a lot of chefs aren't using today.
Cool. I actually haven't been to Calgary forever, so it's always at the top of my to-do list.
Yeah, I've
got to get there. And then Char Bar, that's the new spot that's opening up that's been talked about over and over as I'm coming across people from Calgary or who are heading to Calgary. So what are you doing there, Jessica?
Well, I'll give you a little backstory first. I started at Char Cut and kind of moved my way up through the years and been mentored by John and Connie. And then they approached me about this new idea, and they're like, we really want you to be a part of it. And at first, I didn't really know how a part of it I was going to be. But then they offered me ownership as well as the executive chef position. So I gladly accepted, and I'm really excited about what we have, what we're going to bring.
So how will it be different than Charcot?
It will be different in the sense that, as Connie said, Charcot is very meat-centric, and we will still have, our main focus is beef.
Okay.
Kind of tying in with our Argentine grill. So we're taking a lot of inspiration from the traditional grilling techniques of Argentina, which is also correlates with local grass-fed beef, as well as the building that Char Bar is in is a historical building. It's called the Simmons Building,
okay.
And it's right next to the Bow River. So we're taking a lot of inspiration from the water, raw bar, ceviche,
very
stuff like
cool.
that. So, and also through my travels in the last year, we've been really inspired by vegetables too. So I think the difference between Charcot and Char Bar is going to be a little bit more balanced and not so crazy heavy meat.
Okay. Little seafood, a little bit more vegetables.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be completely different.
And with the bar part, is there a fairly intense bar program, or is that?
The bar actually doesn't really have anything to do with the drinking bar.
Okay.
So where the name comes from, Char, again, is comes from our parrilla, which is the Argentine grill.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bar comes from the seafood and raw bar.
Okay.
That ties into the river right
Perfect.
Next to us.
Yes. Okay. But you won't be harvesting.
No.
I don't know what fish are in there, but
yeah.
So you're doing a dinner tonight, two dinners tonight, with Andrea Carlson at Burdock and Co. And then what else can we find you at EAT later this week? You're doing a few other presentations or events. Where else can we find you?
We're speaking on a symposium about meat on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we're involved in the Canadian Flavors mm-hmm. Gala. I think 750 people.
It looks like an amazing event. I am going to be there, so I'm looking forward to that. And what did you bring with you from Alberta? I'm imagining some beef, but you mentioned that you're prepping here at U Restaurant using one of their meat slicers. So what can they expect on the menu tonight that has your special Alberta touch?
Well, we wanted to reflect both restaurants in the dishes that we decided to take with us. So Charcot is featuring our pighead mortadella, which is, I'm wearing the mortadella t-shirt. It's one of our signature dishes. It really is a pig head that has been deboned and stuffed with mortadella, which is a cooked Italian mm-hmm. sausage that's studded with truffles and pistachios. And there's a thin layer of fat on the interior of the skin that will actually melt slowly as it's cooking, and will actually confit the mortadella inside of the head. So we're really just using kind of like the skin of the head as a casing for the sausage. There's a little bit of the cheeks that are ground up in there as well.
Sounds delicious.
And then we're serving that with some brassica mustard, which is a local mustard from Alberta. And yesterday, Jessica and I both went to Granville Island to do some shopping for some vegetables that we've pickled to go on top of the mortadella as well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Delightful. So we're going to ask you a little bit about...
Oh, sorry. There's another dish that we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Tell us.
So the other dish is more inspired, is Char Bar inspired. And we're doing a grilled octopus with... a spicy tomato sauce that contains some beans, linguiça sausage, which is a Portuguese sausage, and then we'll be topping that with like a fresh gremolata. So
okay, wow! I wonder what Andrea's doing. Do you know yet?
Yeah, she is doing a radish dish.
Yes.
goodness, she sent me the menu. I have to check.
Yeah, no worries. That's yeah. No, that's okay. We don't have to get too into it. And I was going to ask you a little bit about where you eat in Calgary when you're not actually at your restaurant, if that's ever the case.
Yeah, we've got quite a lot of friends in the city that have their own places as mm-hmm. well. Some are pioneers that kind of started the local food movement in Calgary, like River Cafe. Sal and Andrew at River Cafe have an amazing restaurant that overlooks the Bow River. Paul Rogowski's Rouge and his newly opened Rouge Bistro are fantastic. He has his own garden that he sources a lot of his.
So pretty.
Yeah, I've met Paul a few times here. He's come out and
yeah, he's cooked awesome.
And Top Chef can not Top Chef, no, Gold Medal Plates.
Oh,
he
yeah.
was at, so yeah.
We love Ox and Angela's. Jamie and Kelly are friends that own Ox and Angela, and they're more of like a Spanish style tapas place. Yeah. Really great and super awesome cocktails. Nelia is the bar manager there, and she whips up really awesome cocktails. Where else? Bonterra is a great group as well. They have a few other Italian restaurants. Okay. Cibo is in their group, and Posto, their pizzeria, is really great. And for me lately, I've been on a ramen kick, so
that's happening in Calgary too.
Yeah.
We've got a few different newly opened ones. One's called Ramen Butcher.
Oh, cool.
In Chinatown. So I have yet to eat there, but I frequent up and down Robson Street and try those all out.
Well, a couple of really great places to eat ramen in Calgary are Shikiji.
Yeah.
You have to try the Chili Goma Ramen if you ever go.
Okay.
And they just opened up a sister place as well called Cheeky Menya, which is awesome. And some of the best bread in the city comes from our friend Aviv from Sidewalk Citizen Bakery, who's opening up in the same building as us.
Okay. In the Heritage Building that you're...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
And if you're into some really good, like fair trade, small production coffee roasting, we're also opening up with Phil and Sebastian, who are in our building as well.
So it'll be a nice Char Bar, Sidewalk Citizen Bakery, and Phil and Seb. And yeah, so, I mean, it's like a total package. We're going to be feeding off of the best, what each other does best, basically, and to create like this really cool
little
hyper-centric, local food-centric place. Yeah.
Very cool. And what about Vancouver? What do you look forward to when you're in town here?
We mostly look to our friends, I think, that can make some recommendations for us. There's a lot of Vancouverites that have moved to Calgary that made some recommendations for us this time around. As for Luigi, seems to be on everyone's mind.
Good luck
lately.
Getting in there.
Yeah. Well, we actually know someone that used to work there, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's a really tiny place, and they just won like new restaurant of the year from Van Meg. So that was, I think, last week. So it's extra busy, but yeah, that would be the place to go.
We ate at Vidge's last night, which was phenomenal.
Oh,
it was
so good.
Everything that we had always anticipated of eating there. Really incredible meal. We were really happy. I think we're going to Medina.
Oh, Medina. Yep. For brunch, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best in the city for sure. Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to meet up with Ned tonight and probably check out Wildebeest. Mm-hmm. So
once you're finished your endless dinner.
Yeah.
So I had some thoughts about some of the questions that were given to me to sort of ask you, and there was some around sort of being a female chef. And rather than sort of ask you, like, what's it like to be a female chef, I wanted to sort of ask, is it relevant? Like, do you find that you've come up against some things recently? Because you're both quite young in the industry, and so there has been some work laid ahead of you. But I just wondered, have you found that being female has either worked in your advantage or disadvantage, or is it still a relevant question to ask?
You can start.
Well, I think that's a great question. We do often get asked, what is it like to be a female chef?
Yeah.
And when you're asking about relevance of gender in the kitchen, I mean, there really is, I mean, it's almost equal. Like, we probably employ a good 50% of our kitchen.
Good to hear. Because nobody sits down and says, well, what's it like to be a male in the kitchen? You know, you get them, what's it like to be a male nurse? Or these kind of questions. And
I think if you're asking about relevance, of course, we're always going to be advocates of females in the kitchen. We come... Not really a time where there weren't a lot of females in the kitchen. I think that was probably about 10 years before us. Mm-hmm. But it's, I think it is a very relevant question. And there are still a lot of women that struggle in the kitchen. And we don't breed that type of culture in our restaurants. Like I said, we employ a good 50% of our staff are female. And if there is any poison that's creeping up about gender equality in the kitchen, then we squash it right away and we get rid of it. So
I don't think I have ever experienced that once at Charcut, though. Mm-hmm. It's not about if you're male or female. It's about, are you a good cook? Do you work hard? Are mm-hmm. you efficient? Can you learn? Mm-hmm. It's not, and that's like... Growing up in the industry, yeah, I was often one of the only women in the kitchen. It didn't bother me. I wasn't treated any different.
So you don't feel like in your experience, even outside of Charcut, that you've had to sort of fight your way through because you're female treated any differently?
Yeah, not me personally in my experiences. And I do understand that it still happens, and I'm very supportive and... you know, want to support women in the kitchen as much as possible. But at the end of the day, are you passionate about what you do? Yes. Okay. You can come work for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, do I think women make excellent chefs? Yes, of course. You know, we have other qualities maybe that are slightly different than men that make us really good at it. But, you know, it really... It depends on the individual, not what sex you are.
Good to hear. Well, I think I'll let you get back to your prep. I imagine you've got a lot of work and a long day ahead of you, so I'll let you do that. And thanks for your time, and look forward to seeing you throughout the week.